Justin Ming Yifu, professor at the National School of Development at Peking University, said, compared with high-income countries, China has great potential to tap into in the area of industrial upgrading and technological innovation because of latecomer advantage. He made the comment at an economic forum in Washington, D.C., co-organized by Peterson Institute for International Economics and China Finance 40 Forum, a think tank in China. Lin explained that latecomer advantage will push China to learn from high-income countries to improve productivity, thus unleashing economic growth momentum, which has already been shown in the cases of Japan, Singapore, and South Korea. He said, analyzing data from 2008 and relating that with the experiences of the above four Asian economies, he's confident to conclude that China will be able to achieve an 8% growth rate for the coming decade, but only on the condition that China fully utilizes this latecomer advantage.
In 2008, the per capita GDP measured by purchasing power parity was 21% of the U.S. And it was similar to Japan in 1951, Singapore in 1967, Korea in 1977. And these four East Asian economies, they achieved 20 years of 8 to 9% growth. So that means if they can realize 8 to 9% growth for 20 years, that means China has 8% growth potential from 2008. And now 10 years passed, but we still have more than 10 years to come. I think that the growth potential in China could be about 8% per year in the coming 10 years.
Nicholas Lardy is the Anthony Solomon Senior Fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He said he agrees with Professor Lin, but also cautioned that China needs to address the financial instability brought by government-directed lending to state-owned enterprises.
So I do tend to agree with Justin that there is still very substantial potential for China to grow at 8% or maybe even a little bit more. But I don't think this is going to happen if the current situation persists. China needs to return to a system in which bank lending is more commercially driven, which it had been in the 90s, in the 2000s, before the pattern changed after 2011, and it will require substantial reforms of underperforming state-owned enterprises.
The reform of SOEs in China was hotly contested at the forum, with some arguing that it represents the successful story of the Chinese model, while others said it reflects an unhealthy relationship between government and the market. Qin Xiao is an academic advisor with China Finance 40 Forum and former chairman of China Merchants Group and China Merchants Bank. He warns that if not taken care of, the problems with China's SOEs could not only wreck China's economy, but also have socio-political implications.
State-owned enterprises have been given mandate to implement national strategies and serve as a tool for macroeconomic policy adjustment. As a result, they often obtain many explicit and implicit financial support and subsidies, including low-cost loan, free land allocation, fiscal injection of assets and funds, and monopolies in many industries. All these advantages undermine fair market competition and deepen social inequalities.
The forum, the third of its kind, also released the Jingshan Report, addressing issues confronting China's financial sector and calling for a proactive yet prudent opening up process for the sector. For CRI, this is Liu Kun reporting from Washington.